Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Lamed Zayin. Begin on the third line down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the halachas of the title of our perek of Hasheichet regarding the laws of slaughtering. So the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Hasheichet es ha-mesukenes. Someone's slaughtering an animal that's in danger of its life. It's teetering on death. Rishim Gamliel Leimi, he says, Ad shetefarkis biyad beregel. It's only going to be valid, considered a permitted piece of meat that was slaughtered, if, after it was slaughtered, it shook, it spasmed with its hand and its foot. Because if it doesn't, if it's not mefarkis, it doesn't shake its hand and its foot. So the rabbis understood that that means to say that the soul had already left before the animal was slaughtered. As Gemara will explain. So therefore it's not a valid slaughtering. It's on danger of its life. We don't know when it died. If after the slaughtering it shook, it jerked its hand and its foot, then we know that it was properly slaughtered, that it died only after the slaughtering. Rabbi Lazarim, he says, no, dayim zinfa, it's enough if its spurts, which is like animals, that they through their throat area, where it spurts out, blood comes spurting out with vigor, with strength, if that after the slaughtering it spurts out that blood, we know it was still alive, and that's where that strength of the blood spurting out came from, and that's also going to be valid. Now, Amr Shimon, he says, Hasheichet balayla, if someone who slaughters at nighttime, an animal that's in its mesukenes, is in danger of its life, which we said requires pirkus to have this spasm, and we don't know because it's dark, it's at nighttime, we don't know if it's spasm or not. But ulamachar hishkim amatzikasalim, the next day they awoke and they found that the walls, which as Gemara explained, it means the walls of the neck area of the throat where it was slaughtered, we find it's malayim dam, it's full with blood. Says Reb Shimon Kishera, it's going to be valid because how is the necks of the wall, the walls of the neck, all full of blood? Shezinka, because it must have spurted it out. Oh, Kamidas Reb Elazar, and like the opinion of Reb Elazar, is what Reb Shimon's saying, that it's validated, it's slaughtering with the zinuk that it must have had, and that's how the walls of the neck are full with blood. Now, Machamayim, a different opinion, they say the validity is dependent, ach tefarkas, until it spasms. They don't require, like Reb Shimon Gamliel, that it has to be mefarches, has to jerk both with its hand and its foot. Either the hand or the foot. Or even if it shakes its tail, wags its tail, that means to say it wasn't totally dead before he slaughtered, that's also going to be valid. Now the Mishnah says, Echad behem adakav, echad behem agasa. This halacha requiring pirkus, if it was musakenis in danger of its life, both applies to small livestock, like for the flock, like sheep, and also behem agasa, which is like for cattle, for large animals. Now, continues the Mishnah, however, there's a difference between them. Behem adakav shebashatu yada. If at the end of the slaughtering, there's a small livestock, like the sheep, that stretched out its hand after it was slaughtered, b'leich zir, and then didn't take it back, psula. Therefore, was musakenis, it's going to be invalid. Why? Because she'ena, that this is not considered pirkus. Ella, rather, this is how it's normal is when it's at the time of hatzas nefesh balvad, when the soul leaves it. That's what happens. A small animal, it just lets out its arm, and therefore that's not a sign of pirkus. Therefore, that's a problem only by behemah daka. By a large animal, it doesn't normally do that. If it's a large animal, it must mean that that's being mefarkis, it's still spasming, and therefore that's a sign that it was alive after the shechita, so that would actually be valid by the behemah gasa, but not like the Mishnah is saying, it would not be valid by the behemah daka. Now, concludes the Mishnah, but when did we say these requirements of after the slaughtering to require whatever the opinion is of the types of spasms? Only if the animal was presumed and was known to be in danger of its life of dying. But if it had the assumption of being a healthy animal, even if it didn't have any one of these signs, it just slaughtered and didn't do anything, it's going to be a valid shechita, and it's going to be a kosher animal to eat from. Now the Gemara asks, Misukenis mimai desharya. Where do we know this halacha, that an animal that's in danger of its life, of dying, that it's permitted, even like our Mishnah qualifies it with pirkus? Which the Gemara asks back, why would we think that it's forbidden to require a pasuk to say that it's permitted? Why not? You're doing a valid shechita. Says the Gemara, because the pasuk says in the Yikra, now literally the pasuk is talking about wild animals. It's talking about what types of wild animals could be eaten. But the Gemara interprets what that means to say is, chaya achel, a living creature is what you could eat, But if it's not living, you can't eat it. Now, Bahamas again is inachaya. Animal is in danger of its life. It's not living anymore. So even if it's mefachesis, even if it spasms, how do we know that it's going to be permitted? Because from this pasuk, we would think it's forbidden because it's not, quote, alive. It's almost dead. Well, that says the Gemara, Midam Rachmana. It's from a pasuk in Devar. It says, Nevela loy toichel. Don't eat, and I'll let eat an animal that died that wasn't slaughtered. Now, generally, a nevela, an animal that died, before it died, it was in danger of dying. It was misukenis. Now, mechlal, from the fact that the Torah has to tell us that it when it's nevela, it's usser, the inference obviously is that before it died, when it was the misukenis, when it was in danger of dying, that shaya at that point was still permitted. Because the isa gedeitach misukenis asariya, if you would think to say that even when it's in danger of dying, that already makes it forbidden from the pasuk that we brought from Zaysachai. It has to be a living thing, and that's not really living. So then, hashti mechayim asira. So then, if when it was still alive, it was forbidden. Do you need to go ahead and have a pasuk to say that after it's dead, that it's going to be aser? What do you mean? What would go ahead and permit it? It was already forbidden before it died. Obviously, from the fact that the Torah has to tell you nevela is aser, but that is before it died, even when it was in danger of dying, that then it was permitted. Again, if it's properly slaughtered, and it does the pirkus. On that, the Gemara asks on this proof, V'dilma hainu nevela hainu misukenis. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe a nevela is a misukenis. And that is, before it dies, when it's in danger of dying, that's what the Torah is referring to when it calls it a nevela. Now, so, then why do we need two psukim for? The Torah is coming to tell you that you're also additionally liable if you eat it for a lav, a negative prohibition, because if we only had the pasuk, which we're trying to maybe say that, no, misukenis is asr, not like our Mishnah from Zaysachaya, all I would know from that, if you would eat that misukenis, would be an isra ase, because it's a lav abo machal ase. It's saying, you eat a living animal. The inference is you're not allowed to. That only has the power of violating a positive commandment. But we wouldn't know that there's even a negative prohibition, like to get lashes. That we know from this pasuk of nevela loy teichel, it's an explicit negative prohibition. But maybe they're referring to the same thing. Maybe nevela is musukenis. Says Gemara loy sakadaitech. You can't entertain that. Why? Because the pasuk says in Mayikra, chiyamis min abehema asher hi lochem la'achlo, that if it's going to be an animal that you usually eat, that will die. Sanagei ben avlas, if someone touches that dead animal carcass, so there's certain laws of tumah that apply to the dead animal. But one thing you see from this pasuk is la'acha misuhu dekarech man nevela. The Torah only calls it v'chiyamos. When it dies, it's calling it a nevela. Mechaim loiker nevela. When it's alive, it's not being called a nevela. And therefore, we're back to the question, why would I need the Torah to give a negative prohibition regarding a nevela that it's forbidden to eat it? Obviously, if you're saying that even when it was misukenis was already forbidden to be eaten, why would I need to tell you nevela? Rather, obviously, that no, because it's only nevela when it dies that's forbidden to be eaten. But misukenis, if it was just in danger of dying and you did a shechita, then it's actually permitted to be eaten. But the Gemara continues asking and says, no. V'dilma lo'il ma'imlach, truthfully, I could tell you maybe that, like we said before, hainu nevela, hainu misukenis, that what the Torah refers to when it's talking about a nevela, it refers to an animal that's already just in danger of losing its life. And yes, it becomes forbidden even before it dies. And even so, you would need a pasuk. Why? What do you mean? It's already asr from Mr. Kenneth. Why do you need a pasuk to say that nevela is asr to be eaten? The reason is because I would say, mechayim, when it's still alive, which is the issa of Mr. Kenneth, then there's only ba'aseh. Then there's only a violation of a positive commandment. And this pasuk is coming to tell you, la'acha misa v'lav. But when it dies, of course it's asr, but it's even more severe that you get a negative prohibition. Nevela loy teichel, it says clearly a negative prohibition. Maybe that's why you need both, but maybe it's really even asr for when it's still alive as musukenis. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's not a valid proof from the nevela loy teichel. Because that's just adding a negative prohibition, but maybe it's asr as an asay from Zaysachaya, even when it's still alive as musukenis. So Ella rather says the Gemara, how do we know that there's a permissibility of musukenis? Is Mad Omer Rahmana from the Torah says the pasuk in Shemais says treifa loy soichel. Don't eat a treifa. Treifa is an animal that has a mortal defect. Let's say the membrane of the brain has a hole in it, or one of its legs were cut off, or it's missing part of the animal. So it says that even if you properly slaughtered that animal, doesn't make a difference. You can't eat that animal. Says the Gemara, Mechlad de Misukenis Shari. From that halacha, the inference is that an animal that's in danger of dying, where even if it was slaughtered, is going to be permitted. Why? I mean, not even, meaning if you go ahead and slaughter it, then it's going to be permitted. Why? Because if you would think to say that an animal that's in danger of dying because of an illness, but it's not missing any part of its body, that you want to say asira, that it's going to be forbidden because you want to expound the pasuk that says it's only a chaya that you could eat, but if it's not, quote, alive, like Mr. Kenneth, then you can't eat it. Well, then you have the following question. Hash the Mr. Kenneth. So then if you have this animal that's in danger of dying, dolei machaser, that it's not necessarily even missing any part of its body. You want to say it's asira, it's forbidden to be eaten. So then if it's in danger of dying because of treifa, because of a mortal defect, that it's missing part of its body, mibaya, do I have to tell you that that's going to be forbidden to be eaten? That treifa is not, quote, chaya? Obviously it's not alive, where it's, besides in danger of dying, so it's a missing part of its body. Rather, from the fact that the Torah has to say that a treifa is asur to be eaten, obviously, that when it's in danger of dying because of missing part of its body, of a treifa, of a mortal defect, that's when it's asur to be eaten. But any other misukenes, when it's just in danger of dying without missing part of its body, then it's permitted, because we do not expound this drasha of chaya lo toichala, that you only eat it when it's alive, but if it's not alive, that you can't eat it, meaning we don't say from their source that misukenes is asira. That says the Gemara, no, maybe it's not a raya. The dilma hainu treifa hainu musukenis. Maybe that the category of treifa is the same thing as that of musukenis, meaning it doesn't make a difference if it's missing part of its body or not missing part of its body. From the moment that it's, quote, not alive anymore, we already call it, and here we're differing in the translation of the word treifa, we really would call it a treifa, because according to the Gemara's question now, the word treifa is a terminology of musukenis, of in danger of dying, meaning it's close to death. And they're really talking about the same thing. So if you're ready, usher for misukenes, why do you need to say treifa for? Because v'lavar lav basay, it's coming to tell you, first of all, that you're violating a positive commandment because it's not chaya, it's not alive. And v'loisa say, we only know a negative prohibition from when it says treifa, treifa loisaychel. So maybe it's the same thing, and different, maybe it's not a raya that misukenes is mutter, maybe it's usher, and it's really the same thing as treifa. And why does the Torah add on when it says treifa, to add on a loisa say? And that's the Gemara, but Imkain, if that's the case, then Nevela, the Kasir Rachmanam, this that the Torah says, you're not allowed to eat an animal that died without being slaughtered. Which we explained before, you would have to say then the interpretation is that, well, if a Musakanis is Asir, then why are you saying Nevela? We said, oh, that's just to add on that you have a negative prohibition for Nevela. But we said that that answer doesn't work out. So now we're saying we're learning it from Treifa. But if you're saying that you're learning out that Mr. Ken is the same thing as treifa, and you're violating a positive commandment and negative prohibition. So now we're back to the question. So this, that the Torah says that there's a prohibition of eating an animal that's a nevela, lamali, what do you need it for? Because umami chayim, if when the animal's still alive, when it's misukenis, you tell me the Torah called it a treifa, and you're saying koya lo balava say that misukenis has on it both a positive commandment and a negative prohibition, because you're saying that's what treifa is. So then do I need to tell you that when the animal dies, when it's nevela, that there's going to be a negative prohibition upon eating it? Of course, it's prohibition of even when it's still alive in misukenes, where did that go to? And so then why would you have to say nevela is asur? If to add on the loisa say, you already have the loisa say from the fact that it's called the treifa. So the Gemara, no. The dilma may be, hainu nevela, hainu treifa, hainu misukenes. Now what does that mean? In other words, maybe I could tell you that even the nevela that died, after that it became quote-unquote a treifa, meaning that it was in danger of dying, you could say that's what the halach of nevela and the Torah is coming to tell you, that says you're not allowed to eat it, and you would still need it. Why? Didn't we say you already know the assay and loisa say even when they're still alive? Because you would want to say that when it ultimately does die, it's v'lavalav bishnei lavin. To say that actually you wouldn't get just, yeah, we already know asay and lav, even when it's still alive. Because maybe that treifa is the same thing as musukenes, and maybe musukenes is asur. But you'd be violating when it dies the lav of it being a treifa, which is really what musukenes is, and already had that when it was still alive. And the lav and the veil when it dies, vasay in the positive commandment of that you have to eat only a living animal, not musukenes, which is quote unquote not living. So again, how do you know that musukenes is mutter? I could still qualify all these surim and say that musukenes is asur. So Ella rather says, you're right, Mahacha, the source that Mr. Kenneth is mutter, it's from this pasuk in Mayikra. It says, v'chelev nevela, v'chelev treva, v'chelev, which the certain fats of the animal that are permitted to be eaten, and certain fats are forbidden. The shuman is the permitted fats, and the chelev is forbidden fats. On that, the pasuk says, the chelev of a nevela, a dead animal carcass, and the chelev of a treva animal, which are both types of animals that you can't eat from its meat. So says the pasuk, it's chelev, it's forbidden fats, ya'aslacha malacha, you could use it for whatever work you want to use it, it's permitted for benefit. But v'achal lo'y teichlu, you're not allowed to eat that chelev. Vamamar, the master said in Zvachim, Daf Ayin Min Aleph, Lamai Helchasa, what exactly is this pasuk teaching us? This that says, Va'ochel lo teichlu, don't eat that chalev, is unnecessary. A pasuk already says in Yikra Perek Gimel, Kol chalev v'chol dam lo seichlu. We know in general, you're not allowed to eat the blood of an animal or its fats. Now, the question is, because it became in the veil or in the treifa, we're going to say then it loses the isra chalev? Well, of course, even in regular kosher meat, you can't eat its chalev. Here, for sure, you can't. What's its necessity? Rather, says the Gemara Masechta Zvachim, Amra Torah, the Torah is coming to tell you that on the fats of an Avela and Trefa, you can be liable for two negative prohibitions. One, because of the negative prohibition of eating Chalev, and the other one, because it's a Trefa animal, which that's a Chiddush, that you don't say what's called Ein Issach Al Lisser. That you would say sometimes that just, okay, you can only, it's already prohibited, you can't add on another prohibition. And then the Torah is coming to tell you, no, Yava Yisr Nevela V'yachal Issach Chalev. We know the chalev is aser, but the Torah is coming to tell you can't eat it to say that when, if you eat it, not only are you violating the negative prohibition of eating the forbidden fats of an animal, you're violating because it's part of a nevela animal, and yavah isa treifa v'yachal isa chalev, and let the isa of treifa come and also take effect in isa chalev, you'll be violating two negative prohibitions if you eat that chalev. That's what the pasuk is coming to tell you, as the Gemara says in Zvach. So as the Ketin Tamid Bey says, the Gemara, the proof is as follows. V'isa g'day dechna, if you're entertained to say like the Gemara is trying to say, that treifa hainu mishu kenes, you're trying to say that no, can't bring a raya from treifa. Why? Because treifa is really the same thing as mishu kenes. Mishu kenes is also asa. And that says the Gemara, if you're going to say treifa is mishu kenes, then lichtim brachmana, then the Torah should have just written as follows. Should have written, chelev nevela yasal chamalacha. When it's talking about the permissibility of using it for benefit, for using for work, it should have just mentioned the chelev of a nevela, which would have told us this halacha that although it's from a nevela animal, which nevela usually transmits tumma, its chalev does not transmit tumma, and you're allowed to use it for your work. And then it shouldn't have said anything regarding the prohibition of eating the chalev and nevela. Then it should have gone on to the second item mentioned in the pasuk, the chalev treifa. Should have mentioned the fats of a treifa animal, which you're qualifying as that means musakendis, in danger of dying. And only there should have written the lo teichlu, which is the other halacha mentioned in the pasuk. The pasuk mentioned two halachas regarding the chalev. A, that they're permitted to have benefit from it, there's no tumma, and B, but that you still can't eat it. And it should have just said that if the pasuk comes to say you can't eat it, which we've said the Gemara Zvachim says, oh, hey, we know you can't eat chalev. Rather, it's coming to say that the issa misukenes will take effect on the issa chalev, meaning even though it's already forbidden as chalev, it's going to have the added issa of also treifa, which you're saying means misukenes. And that's all it should have said. It shouldn't have said, like the pasuk says, by both of them, both halachas. It should have said the permissibility of work regarding the chalev and the vela. And the main point that we're trying to bring out, that the issa achila, it should have said only by the chalev of treifa. V'ana amina, I would have said, kol shekin, for sure that when it dies, that the issa nevel will take effect on the issa chalev, because the mami chayim, if an animal's still alive, the issa musakenis, is only because it's about to die, and still, asa isa treifa, quote, we're calling treifa as the isa musakenis. Is chayla isa chayla will take effect in isa chaylev. So then, la'acha misa. So then, after it dies, in the actual nevela, mibayu, do we have to say that it's going to take effect on the isa chaylev? Of course. So why does it say it as altogether? Why doesn't it just say, if the way you're saying the treifa is musakenis, it should just say that the isra of the chaylev, of eating it, that to say that this added issa will take effect, it should say it only by treifa, not by nevela. Ella rather proves the Gemara, the cause of Rahman and nevela, and the fact that the Torah goes and writes nevela, meaning it had to mention the isser of nevela taking effect on the issa chalev, not just as an inference, as a kavochayim, as a kosher came from treifa, but rather had to mention it by it itself. Mechlal, the treifa lav hainu musukenes. So obviously the inference is that the treifa is not musukenes. And that's why I had to mention specifically by nevela, which it's coming from a different source. Nevela is forbidden from like the concept of musakenis, because of it that's going to die. But it's not coming from the strength and the point of vantage of a treifa, because the nevela, and so to musakenis, which is right before nevela, didn't necessarily become a treifa beforehand, that it should take effect on the isra of chalev. Treifa, we're saying, means like we classically translate treifa, which means it's missing a part of it. But that's one halacha. We wouldn't know that regarding nevela, as Rashi says, what do you mean? Why don't you say kavachemah from treifa? If it's when it's still alive, we say that it takes effect on the issa chalev, when it's dead for sure. And that says Rashi, no, you cannot. Because the reason of treifa is not because it's about to die. It's because it's missing something, as the Gemara explains this a concept in Zvachim, that ayinim and aleph. And therefore, you wouldn't know from treifa. That's what has to mention by both. But one thing you see, if treifa meant like the Gemara was trying to translate, misukenis, then you would already know we're going to chelev nevela. We wouldn't have to mention that by chelev nevela. Obviously, from the fact that we had to mention that obviously the issa treifa means like it classically means. And then we're saying that if you had to mention the issa treifa, obviously that misukenis is mutter. Because if misukenis is usser, then the classic issa of treifa you wouldn't have to mention. Because treifa, not only is it going to die, it is also missing a part of itself. Mr. Kenneth, it's not even missing. Of course, if you're saying Mr. Kenneth is usser, of course treifa is going to be usser. But the fact that the Torah has to come and tell us treifa is usser, obviously it's only if it's missing, or if it actually dies, like nevela, then it's going to be usser. But Mr. Kenneth is actually going to be mutter. That's the proof that the Gemara brings for the halacha of our mission. But Maskevla Mabar Vashi continues asking, he says, no, maybe I'll tell you, Haina treifa, haina misukenis, like we were trying to say before. No, when the Torah says treifa is forbidden, it means misukenis too. Or the Karmat Vistad, you're saying, Nevel de Kos Vachmon Nelomali, that you just bested us and you just said, well, then why would it have to say that the Issa Nevela takes effect on the Issa Chelev? If you already know it from a Kol Shekain, from treifa, which quote unquote treifa means misukenis, so if an animal that's about to die, and that's the reason for its Issa, if you're saying treifa is misukenis, that it takes effect on Issa Chelev, for sure when it's actually dead, it's going to take effect on Issa Chelev. And that says, Ma'abar Avashi, that's not difficult. L'hach Nevela, Duloy Asti, Mekach, Musikenis. We're talking about, when do we have to say a Chiddush? That the Issa Nevela takes effect on the Issa Chelev? Is a dead animal that's not dead because it was first in danger of dying. You're right. If an animal that's in danger of dying, and then dies. If we're in danger of dying, and that's the reason why it's Usser, which is like secondary to the death, it's saying that Issa takes effect on Issa Chelev for sure Nevela. But I'm telling you that it's an animal that died without ever being Musukanis first. How could that be? Sha'asa Gistra, where the animal was just chopped into two in one shot. And after it's cut into two, it's still shaking around. As the Gemara says in the first parak, that if you chop it in half, it becomes Nevela. Now, so it's a Nevela, and it was never in danger before it became a Nevela, because it happened in one shot. And that is what the Pasuk maybe has to tell us, that the Issa Nevela will take effect in Issa Chelev, because you wouldn't know it from the halacha of Misukenis, because it was never Misukenis. And that says the Gemara, no, Hasim Nami, even over there, when you chop it into two, it's not possible that wasn't at least a nanosecond, a little bit in danger of dying, before you end up chopping the majority of the animal when it's already considered in half. So there was already something right before there was already Misukenis, and Misukenis is going to be Chala Esachelim. For sure, Nevela, you wouldn't have to say it. Obviously, the fact that it does say it is because Trefa is not Misukenis, and therefore you wouldn't know Nevela from Trefa, and that's why you have to say both. And if that means treifa is not musukenis, so again, then we're back to the point. If the Torah has to say eating treifa is forbidden, obviously it's only there when it's missing, but musukenis, which is not missing, then that's actually permitted if you go ahead and you do a proper slaughtering with pirkus. Or if you want, the Gemara says you could even say, not like we just answered before, you could even say that maybe gistra becomes nevela without being musukenis first. But still will prove this halacha that musukenis is mutter. Why? And from the same source that we're bringing before. Because Im Kain, if that would be true, that Misukenis is Asr, then Laman, let the Pasuk say, Chelev Nevela Utrefa. Yes. Okay, it has to mention both Nevela and Trefa regarding both points in the Pasuk. But let it say it where it's reading it as follows. The Chelev of Nevela and Trefa. And that would be telling us that yes, both this Nevela and Trefa are taking effect on the Isr Chelev. Chelev, Chelev, Lamali. But why does it have to say the word Chelev twice? Why does it have to say in the Pasuk, Chelev Nevela, V'Chelev Trefa? Why do you have to say the extra word Chelev? That rather says the Gemara, it's coming to, the extra word is coming to Darshan and to tell us that specifically, only by a Trefa am I telling you this halacha. Why? Zuhi, this is the one, She'in Chel B'Cholik Mipsara, that its fats are no different than its meat, meaning that both its fat and its meat are Usr. Like I'm telling you in the Pasuk, that the Issa Treifa is taking effect, not just on the meat, which you can't eat an animal that has a moral defect, also on the fats. So obviously we see that there's two Issurim in the fats. But the inference is, that's why it has to say the word extra in v'chelev, to say only this chelev is like the treva, because v'yesh l'cha acheres, there's another situation, which is also like the nevela and the treva, which is close to die, and there there's actually only going to be the isra of chelev. Because there, shechel b'cholak m'psara, there its fats are going to be different than its meat, meaning that there will be an isra in the chelev, like every animal has from the moment that it's born, but there will not be any other isra on its meat, because its meat is mutter. The Eizayin, which one is that? Zum Musukanis. That's the Musukanis. So the extra word chelev is telling us that Musukanis is going to be mutter, and it's only the chelev and the veil and trefa that has no difference between its meat and its fat, but the Musukanis will be different, because there the fats will be forbidden, but its meat will be permitted. Or says the Gemara of Yibay, if you want, you can bring a different source from the Heta Musukanis, not from the Pasuk, not from the source it brought before. But rather, Mahachavan Pasuk in Yecheskel. This is a Pasuk where Yecheskel HaNabi is telling Kadosh Baruch Hu, this Pasuk, because Hashem had told him that he should take wheat and barley and he should make a cake of barley and eat it that's roasted over the human waste matter. Now, Vayman, Yecheskel said to Hashem, Aha, Hashem, like him, whoa, Hashem, God, Hine nafshi lo mutuma, my soul is not impure. V'nevela trefa lo yichalti min uri v'ad ata, and no nevela and trefa did I eat from my youth up until now. And the meat of pigle never came into my mouth. Now, on that the Gemara explains and expounds this pasuk, that it can't be literal as the pasuk sounds like, because those are all explicit isurim, so what's the greatness that he's saying about himself? Rather, these are actually things that are not explicitly prohibited things. When he said, Hidni nafshi lo mutuma, my soul was never impure, what he meant to say is, Shalei harti bayim, I never thought in the day illicit thoughts, Lovi l'day tuma balayla, to come to ritual impurity at nighttime, meaning to have a seminal emission, that of keri at nighttime. When he said, V'nevelo trefa lo yichalti min urai, that I didn't eat nevela and trefas from my youth, doesn't mean that he didn't eat nevelas, because obviously then what's the novelty, what's he saying so great about himself? It's an explicit negative prohibition in the Torah. Rather, what he was saying is, Shleichalti basar kais kais ma'ilam. I never ate from a piece of meat that people are saying slaughter, slaughter, that it doesn't die because it's misukenis, it's in danger of dying. So even that I didn't eat from. V'lei ba befi basar pigle. I never ate basar pigle. Obviously not the regular basar pigle that we mean like in Zvachim where he talks about someone had a machshav of chutzazmani when he was doing the avoid in that carbon because that's a chi of karas. What he meant to say is, Shleichalti mebehema shahar bachacham. I didn't even eat from a piece of meat which required a sage to paskin on, which he had to come and permit it, where because as, even though there was just a doubt regarding it, I really didn't eat from that meat. And Rishim Reb Nassan, Amr Nim Reb Nassan, they said a different interpretation than what the last phrase was. Shleichalti mebehema shlehumer matnasa. I didn't eat from an animal that didn't yet have parts of this chulin animal, its kohanic gifts taken off, which are the foreleg and the jaw and the stomach, which the novelty in this is even though he's a kayan. The Navi Yecheskel, and he didn't have to take off any truma at all because he's the Kayin. Still, even that he didn't eat until its matanas were taken off. Now, says the Gemara, Iyamet b'shlei mishariyah. If he says we're assuming, as we explained the halacha of our Mishnah, that musukenis, an animal that's in danger of dying, is permitted again if it's slaughtered and has all the proper simanim of pirkus. Sahain revusu Yecheskel. That would be the chiddush of Yecheskel. That even though it's permitted, but since it's repulsive because it's something that's already bordering on the prohibitive, so I didn't eat it. But Eli Amrad Asir. But if you say, as the questioner is trying to ask, that Mr. Kenneth is Asir, my revusu Yecheskel. What would be the novelty of Yecheskel? Obviously, from the fact that he's saying that he didn't and that it's a chiddush, is that obviously because in general Mr. Kenneth is mutter like the halacha of Mishnah. Now, the Gemara clarifies, hey, chedamim misakenis. Well, how do we qualify an animal that's in danger of dying, which requires the unique halachas of our Mishnah? So, I'm reviewing the Merav. It says, kol shamamidinais ave'enay medis. If you try to stand it up and it doesn't stand, that's already looks like it's in danger of dying and has these halachas. Now, Rav Chanina bar Shlem Yemishmei de Ravam, he says, afelo echeles bekoyois. Says, even if it eats logs of wood, where its teeth are still very strong and it still has strength, since it can't stand up, that's already considered misakenis. And Rami by Yecheskel, he says, "Afilo echel is kairis." Even if he eats beans, now he's not disputing Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, just like Rav Chanina, he's coming to add on and qualify and say, if it doesn't stand up, it's already a problem. Even if it could even eat beans. Now, Besura Masnihachi in Surah, in Bavel, they had said it the way we just said it now. That Rav Chanina was the one who added on Rabbi Yehuda, and he said that this problem about not being able to stand up is even if it eats logs. But Bepumbadisa Masnihachi in Pumbadisa, they taught it that it was actually Rabbi Yehuda himself who ended off his statement like that. And he had said, Hey, Chedami Musakenis, what's the case of Musakenis? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi says, Kol Hashem Amid Noisa Ve'Einar Medes, if you try to stand it up and it doesn't stand, and he himself added on, Fafel HaCheles Bakoyis, even if it eats logs. On that, Rami Bar Yecheskel Amar, as in the first version, he added on even more, says, Fafel HaCheles Kairis, even if it eats beams, still the fact that it's so strong in its teeth that it could eat, but still, the fact that it can't stand up is already gives us reason to believe it's in danger of dying, and therefore we're not sure when it died, and that comes to the discussion, the Machlokes in our Mishnah, regarding what does it have to do after its death to show us that it wasn't dead beforehand, and to show that it was a proper slaughtering to be able to eat the meat of that animal.